Brothers and sisters, please pray with me. Holy Spirit of God, take our minds and think through them. Take these words and speak through them. And set our hearts on fire for love of thee. Amen. Please be seated. A couple of summers ago, friends invited me to their cabin in Colorado for a week. I flew into the Denver airport, rented a car, and headed out west toward the Rockies. The mapping app on my phone is my GPS, my global positioning system, and it worked like a charm all the way up into the mountains. However, on my trip back after a week of hiking, the app wanted to keep sending me in the wrong direction that would not lead to the airport or any major road leading to the airport. You see, I knew this route because I had navigated it for many a trip when I was a regular snow skier long before this fancy thing called GPS was around. So I pulled over, compared what the app was doing and the basic map the rental car company gives you so that you can find your way back to them. And along with my memory, I redirected myself, making it to the airport on time without the play-by-play calls made by my mapping app. After all, GPS sometimes fails you, so it's good to have a sense of direction and be able to reconfigure and figure out if you're going in the wrong direction and put yourself on the right path. When I got home, I was curious if that was a consistent problem in Denver. So I Googled Denver International Airport and GPS problems, and boy, did I come across a story. Seems that one of the highways crisscrossing the city and leading to the airport had a major accident several weeks earlier. Drivers heading to DIA were quick to reroute themselves using their brand of GPS and found themselves being led down a private dirt road, a route that, due to heavy rains over the prior few days, sent them down a narrow, muddy path. There was no room to turn around, so dozens of vehicles got stuck in the mud. One driver claimed that she saw all the other cars ahead of her, so she assumed the road was okay. Days were ruined as flights were missed, while tow truck drivers had a banner day, because drivers rely blindly on their guidance technology. Now, I know we should be praying for our brothers and sisters in the Denver and Boulder area rather than laugh because of the fires over the last few days. But in our familiar Christmas passage read today, we hear about an ancient GPS system. Wise men from the East, Gentiles, have left the comfort and security of their homes to follow the course of a star as it tracked its way through the heavens. Little is known of these wise men or magi, other than that they came from the East, a region in the ancient world in esteem for its wise philosophers, its astrologers, wonder workers, and even magicians. A star moving across the night sky has attracted their attention. We modern folks know that stars usually don't move across the sky unless they're a comet. Such a moving star is unusual even in ancient times, and when the brilliant night sky was not washed out by artificial light as it is in our day. In his book Natural History, 3rd century Roman philosopher and naturalist Pliny the Elder attests to the Mediterranean world's belief in antiquity that such a star signaled a momentous event and was frequently associated with political misfortune. No surprise, then, that Herod and his cronies are frightened when the wise men have a GPS fail and naively stumble their way into Jerusalem, putting the entire enterprise at risk by seeking the newborn king in the courts of the tyrant king Herod. One wonders why, if the star had led them this far and ultimately stopped over the place where Jesus was living, why was it that the wise men needed to double check and make sure they were headed in the right direction? Perhaps they had to get through the metropolitan area of Jerusalem, and because it was such a large urban area, their guidance system got a little bit fuzzy or unclear. We don't really know. But one thing we do know is that while we know Herod was power hungry and paranoid, his courtiers, his chief priests and scribes had other options. These learned men knew the scriptures backwards and forwards, and they knew that the Jewish king, the longed for Messiah, where that king would be born. They knew that the prophets of old foretold about this king who was to come, a king who would bring about God's salvation, God's kingdom. They were all longing for that Messiah to come. And yet, these leaders fall into fear, or maybe they decide to side with power. And they simply tell King Herod what the scriptures say and show so little curiosity or desire to seek out the possibility of seeing God's anointed for themselves. The response to the birth of Jesus is so strikingly different in the Jerusalem Jewish power center of the day compared with the Gentile learned men who came so far away from the east. This is why this part of the Christmas story is so significant to us today. These Gentiles, in a sense, give all of us who are not children of Israel a seat at the table from the very beginning of Jesus' life. Their devotion, coming a long distance, bringing costly gifts, paying this child homage, foreshadows a time when the good news will not be exclusively for the Jewish nation alone, but for the whole world, including you and me. On their return trip, thank goodness the wise men's GPS did not fail them, meaning God's positioning system. By a dream, they were warned to take a different route. In a similar method of guidance, led the Holy Family out of harm's way, allowing both sets of travelers to avoid Herod's murderous plans. I don't know about you, but I would wish for such clear GPS for my life, meaning God's positioning system. Some voice that told me when to take a proverbial right turn or when to take a left turn. Some Christians seem to have this kind of hotline to God. You probably know someone like that, or you may be someone like that, where God told them this or God told them that, and their way forward was spelled out for them. I spent a great deal of my life longing for that same voice. Sometimes guidance has been rather clear, but that's rarely been my experience. For the majority of Christians like me, our faith has been stretched by the fact that we have had to rely on the spiritual practice of discernment. I've found that discernment is an art, requiring us to become more and more attuned and sensitive to the Holy Spirit's movement in and out of our lives. It requires us to step aside, in a sense, pull off the road and recalibrate the timing of making our plans by approaching decisions through prayer for however long it takes before we too can say, "Ah, God has told me," or "God has revealed," or "I believe God is calling me to take this path or make this choice." Giving ourselves the time for prayer to sharpen our discernment skills helps us to become aware of the benevolent movements of God in our life so that our decisions and choices can move with the currents of God's grace. And as with all aspects of our life in Christ, discernment is a skill that not only relies on our practice of it and preparation with it, but it also relies on God's grace itself. So discernment is both art and gift. You may think that spiritual discernment is only needed for vocational callings like the ordained life, but it is needed in almost every aspect of our lives in Christ. Sure, we should all be discerning our vocational lives, what work we should be doing, or how we should use our time and the gifts and talents we've been given in support of our families and in service to God and our communities. But discernment is also needed in our relationships, our values, in choosing what's best for ourselves and for our families. These choices we make should be life-giving to ourselves and to others. In Deuteronomy 30, as he is about to die, Moses charges the Hebrew nation as they are about to cross the Jordan and finally enter the promised land. Moses tells them, "See, I've set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live." Discernment is choosing life, the life that aligns us to God and God's work in this world. If we choose what is life-giving to ourselves and to others each day, we will discern our way forward and be guided by God. God's positioning system is so very different than the GPS on our devices and in our vehicles. It requires practice, faith, and trust that the arc of our lives is being guided by God, even when step-by-step navigation would be so much easier for us, or the path that we are on seems to be taking an unexpected or unwanted turn, like an infant born with a congenital condition, a teenager killed in an accident, a young mother or a young father diagnosed with a terminal disease, or merely it's just the warranties on our bodies closing in on their expiration dates. When these kinds of experiences come into our lives, can we trust that God is still guiding us to fulfill our purposes, His purposes for our lives? Can we remain faithful when it seems to us that we have driven into the mud or run into a dead end? Can we remain faithful and think we are, instead of thinking we are experiencing a GPS fail? For that, my friends, that is the life of faith. That is the life of faith as we discern our way forward each and every day. To repurpose and paraphrase a line from a G.K. Chesterton poem, "Christians are those signed with the cross of Christ who go gaily into the dark." On our way through the dark that we sometimes find ourselves in, that can only be navigated through prayer and the finely tuned practices of spiritual discernment. So seek to grow in the ability to discern God's movement in your life, to be able to hear that still small voice of God that brings life to you. Be faithful in prayer, worship, and studying the scriptures with others. Grow in faith and confidence that God is your life's GPS and God's positioning system never fails. It never fails. But will ultimately bring you to that destination your heart longs for, the dwelling place of God here and at the end of the arc of your life's journey here on earth. Amen.